This summer, we've decided to have numerous speakers come and deliver lessons on your influence. And you have a direct influence, whether you believe it or not, or whether you want to believe it. We all have an influence on someone, somewhere. Now, I've been teaching fourth and fifth grade since the beginning of the quarter, but I know that you've had speakers on influence in the family. And Josh Blackmer had a lesson that's very close to this lesson that I'm going to present this morning. And I listened to Josh's lesson this morning, and his lesson was on influence in the church. When we talk about influence for strengthening the church, we're not talking about a building, so we're not talking about some kind of construction work, are we? What are we talking about? People. It's people to people, strengthening one another. So this morning we're going to take a look at how we can do that. We're going to take a look at God's instruction. Is it something that you and I have to do? Do I have to encourage Nicole Friesman? You know, do I have to? Did God command me to do that? Is that something I have to do? I need to do that? Or is it just something that I can choose to do once in a while? So we're going to take a look at God's commandment this morning. Abraham Lincoln said, "Wanting to work is so rare a merit that it should be encouraged." You ever encourage somebody to work? You ever encourage your children to work, to get something done, finished, started? I think I'm always encouraging my children to get something started, because they don't exactly want to start whatever they have to do, so we have to encourage them to start. And not necessarily finish, but to start. Instruction does much, but encouragement does everything. Johann von Goethe, a German poet. You know, you can tell somebody to do something. You can instruct them. You know, being a teacher, you know, it's been my whole day trying to teach somebody something. But Johann von Goethe says that it's the encouragement that really matters. You know, I can try to teach somebody, but how am I building that person up? How am I motivating that person in giving that person encouragement to go on and on? And some other teachers in here can follow me with that for sure. Electric communication will never be a substitute for a face of someone who, with their soul, encourages another person to be brave and true. Charles Dickens. I thought this was amazing that Charles Dickens was worried about electric communication. Isn't that something? He died in 1870. Is this true? Charles was wired right on, wasn't he? Nothing wrong with telephone communication or email. Absolutely not. We have at our disposal here in 2008 unbelievable amount of technology to be able to encourage one another, don't we? We do. But there's nothing that's going to replace sitting down with someone face to face. The deacons are in the middle of a deacon class, I guess it's called. And in that deacon class, we set up certain kind of communications that we want to go on at certain times during the month to get ready for a monthly meeting. And one thing that was heavily encouraged was not to communicate by telephone or email, but was heavily encouraged to communicate one-on-one or a team leader with a group of people, but actually sit down with them in face-to-face conversation. And this is why. It can't be replaced. You know, you can use the telephone and use email, and that's wonderful, but it's not going to replace a face-to-face conversation. Definition of encouragement: the expression of approval or support, the act of giving approval or support, and the feeling of being encouraged. It's a good feeling, isn't it? somebody encourages you, and maybe that person's very important to you, and they give you a source and a sense of encouragement, and you come away, you feel great. Maybe it boosted your self-esteem up. Self-esteem is important. A good self-esteem is important. And so you come away and your self-esteem is lifted up. What kind of Christian are you going to be if you're an encouraged Christian? Ineffective or effective? Effective. You're going to be an effective Christian if you're an encouraged Christian. You take somebody that's not encouraged, and they're going to have a low sense of self-esteem. They're going to feel that nobody wants them, nobody loves them, nobody encourages them. A very ineffective person. Christians that have poor attendance, do you think they're encouraged or discouraged? They're discouraged, aren't they? Somewhere down the line, whether it's might be their fault, now I'm not going to put the total blame on other people, because a lot of times a person's perception can be wrong. But someone who's going to drop out of the church or soon drop out of the church is somebody that does not feel that encouragement that they need to feel. They're discouraged. The growth of the early church can be connected to the edification that was given. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. In the book of Acts, we find the start of the Lord's church. And we find people from different backgrounds, different languages, different cultures have come together and have responded to the gospel of Christ in exactly the same way. But there's something about that early church that made it grow, and grow significantly. It's not like, this person was baptized this week and this person was baptized this week. It wasn't like that. A lot of people came to know Christ. People that had a strong Jewish background, strong Jewish faith, they became followers of Christ. People that had to travel for miles and miles, and maybe it took them a month to get to Jerusalem at that time, they put away the Jewish faith and they put on Christ in baptism. These people are the people that started that church, the Lord's church. And they responded to the gospel. And after that, they didn't leave each other alone, did they? Isn't that something? After that, they came together. And they started bonding strong Christian relationships. And they started encouraging one another. In Acts 9:31, says, the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. They were edified. You take a congregation of people and there's no edification going on. What kind of congregation are they going to be? Do you think they can recognize them? Do you think you can recognize them? Have you ever traveled somewhere and you enter a church building and you feel, I don't know, it's just not Palm Beach Lakes. You know what I mean? Just doesn't have that love feeling, you know, that strong bond of love that Christians should have with each other, especially a visitor. You know, you're a visitor and you walk in. Then you walk in sometimes into other church buildings and you're overwhelmed. I remember my family was traveling to Tennessee and we stopped off in a congregation meeting in Murfreesboro. And we sat down and we had the twins were little babies And Grant was a little baby, and Rachel was really young. And if you have kind of a big family, like you know, it's kind of difficult sometimes to walk in and try to get situated. But there was this lady just sitting down at the end of the pew. She came over and talked to us and took our babies, the twins, and away and entertained them or whatever so we could worship God. And just perfect stranger. Didn't know us at all, but knew that we were visiting their congregation, that's all. And she decided that she would take on that role. That's edifying. That's a congregation that must preach and teach edification to one another, love for one another. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. First Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Paul's penning this to the people in Corinth, and he's telling them to be brave and be strong. I really don't think he meant totally that person to try to do that with themselves. See, I can work a long time on trying to be brave and be strong, and I should. That's my responsibility to grow in Christ. But wouldn't it be a lot easier if somebody else was with me and was doing the same thing? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if somebody would concentrate on me sometimes to strengthen me, and I could concentrate on them and strengthen them? Then this whole process of edification, the whole process of building strong relationships and building a strong congregation becomes a lot easier, doesn't it? Because we do this together. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We're supposed to be strong. We had the power team visit my school this last year. Anybody know who the power team is? Nobody? You do? The power team, they deliver a, if you want them to, they'll deliver, you know, a quote Christian message, but they deliver a very strong positive message to young people. But they dedicate themselves to building their bodies up as well as their spiritual side. So they're very big and they're very strong, and they do incredible feats of strength. They bend bars and they break bricks over their head and incredible things. It makes the kids' eyes are just wide open with them. I mean, if these guys talk, they're going to listen, aren't they? They're going to listen. But there's not one of them that have got to that point in their lives where they can do those things that they did it alone. They responded to each other to build each other up so much that each one of them has their own talents, but each one of them has their own strengths. Isn't that a great model for us, really? Everyone here has some kind of talents for the Lord's church. Some people can teach class. Some people don't have a desire to do that. Some people can be preachers. Some people don't have a desire to do that. Some people can be missionaries. Some people say, I'm never going to be a missionary. And that's fine. But everyone here has a talent to bring to the Lord. And if somebody does have a talent and somebody is trying to do something, then it's on our part to edify that person so that person can reach their maximum potential. You know, if you're going to do something, do it with your whole heart, right? But hopefully, your brothers and sisters are behind you 100%. Colossians chapter 1. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering and joy. How did that early church grow so much? The key is here. They had each other, and they found joy with each other. You go into that congregation that seems kind of cold, I guarantee you, they don't have a lot of joy in that place. Now, Palm Beach Lakes is special, no doubt about it. And one of the things that we really do well, I believe, is love each other. And we still have work to do. But we do love each other. There's so many things that are going on in the backgrounds that we'll never know. Now, we'll never know about the guy that goes out and buys a new stove for the widow and puts it in his house. Or we'll never know about the food that was brought to somebody's door. We'll never know. God knows. But that's the kind of edification that needs to go on if we're going to have a strengthened church. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. What does it mean to prefer one another? That's a real question. What does it mean to prefer one another? All right, good job. Yeah, I like that one. To put others before yourself? Okay, that's good. That's what I was thinking too. Joe added another dimension, thank you. But that I was thinking kind of what Nicole said about preferring to be with Christians than non-Christians. Be not deceived. Yeah, evil companions corrupt much. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I know how it is coming from a classroom. I tell you what, coming from a classroom, I really appreciated my own home a lot more. I really appreciated being with you all a lot more. It was such a refreshment. Yes?
It's realizing you belong to a family.
It is, isn't it? Sure is. Have you traveled and go to a congregation that you don't know, but you walk in and automatically you feel like you're part of a family?
Yes.
Yeah. We've done that. You walk into a congregation and you're part of this family. I don't want to specifically say any congregation names. There's a congregation over on the West Coast one time that we walked in. They have a dinner for the visitors every Sunday. And we walked in there and we felt absolutely at home. Congregation in Tennessee, kind of northern Tennessee, felt absolutely comfortable, absolutely part of a family. Okay. All right, God wants us to be strong. Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Who's the he in this? Abraham, right. Abraham was strengthened. And in spirit, Luke chapter 1, verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it adds that he grew in wisdom. Who's the child in this passage? Jesus, right. And then we're also supposed to grow in the grace of the Lord. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus." I made a little note here that I was thinking about the world, the world at large, and I was thinking about our relationship with each other. And it's totally different than what the world wants. And the world wants your brothers and sisters to be yanked down, down hard. That's what the world wants. And so not only is our job to edify one another and encourage one another, but we have to do so much that we have to be able to beat the world, which is tearing your brother and sister down. If you ever want to be angry at the world, so to speak, angry at the world, be angry at the world for that. The world, Satan, hates your brother and sister and wants to yank your brother and sister down and discourage them so much that they could be ineffective Christian, or maybe they will even leave the Lord's church. That's what Satan wants, doesn't he? I mean, that would be a victory, wouldn't it? A victory in his belt. Discourage somebody so much that they would leave the Lord's church. Discourage that person so much that they would turn against their brothers and sisters and turn against God. We have a fight on our hands. Not only do we have to encourage each other, but we have to outdo the devil in this encouragement. And we need to be able to concentrate on this, and we need to be able to wholly concentrate on this if we're going to win. The body of Christ is known as the Lord's church, and that we're the body of Christ, we're body of Christ together. Who's the head of the church? The Son of God is the head of the church, isn't it? Like I mentioned before, we all have different talents to bring to God. We have different things, even different materials to bring to God. There was a group of people here yesterday that dedicated a large part of their morning and planted plants in the front area here. So if you want to walk around after service, see if you can find some of these new plants that they planted, and you probably won't know who they are. They're not going to stand up this morning. No, they just did that. Look over in the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 12. Verse 4 and 5 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." David had a sermon on this one time about being members of one another. We're just not members of the church or members of the Lord's body, but when we become Christians, we become members of one another. I'm a member of you, and you're a member of me. And we have that kind of relationship that we need to strengthen and encourage. But who needs to be encouraged? Babes in Christ. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious." We do have babes in Christ. We have successfully taught people, and they've been baptized recently. What is our response to them? What is our job, so to speak, with them? Should we leave them alone? I'm very, very thankful of those people that did not leave me alone after I was baptized. And I can name them. And some of them are sitting right here. I'm very, very thankful for those people that took me under their wing and they invited me to their home and I studied the Bible with them and I got to know their family. A lot of those kids now are all, they're all grown up. But those people really took an interest in my spiritual growth, and then for years on, there's an interest in spiritual growth. We should never allow ourselves to let babes in Christ alone. Give them a job. Give them a task that they can handle. Invite them over. Encourage them to go to Bible class. Encourage them to go to worship God every Sunday. Encourage them to come here at 6 o'clock at night when the saints assemble once again on Sunday. Give that kind of encouragement to them. And keep up with them and see them grow. And it's a marvelous thing. It's part of that family relationship that we have, is to see somebody grow in Christ. It's like your own children. You see your own children grow and take on different responsibilities and do certain things, and it's like that. So always, please, always look to those that are babes in Christ. Know that they're very special people. Just because they're babes, that's it. They need to be encouraged. They need to be nourished. And there's some people here this morning that are excellent at this job, and hopefully they'll continue. This is immature spiritually. How strong are we? How many people played football when you were younger? Josh? Lindsay? Jenkins played football? Okay. I want to know, I know coaches all over the world have certain sayings, I think, and they repeat these sayings. There must be some special, like, coach network do you remember this saying, we're only as strong as our weakest link? Josh, you ever coach, was that in Idaho? So the Idaho coach and the Iowa coach got together and said, let's say this saying over and over again. Yeah, we're only as strong as our weakest link. Is that true for the church? We're only as strong as our weakest link. Are there going to be weak brothers and sisters? Absolutely. There's always going to be weak brothers and sisters. But that degree of weakness is up to them and us. Wouldn't it be great if Palm Beach Lakes' weakest brother and sister was just, the greatest Christian on earth, but they're the weak one? I mean that degree of weakness can be way up here, and not way down here. But we are going to have those members that are weak, and for all kinds of different kind of reasons. Could be their family background or maybe some kind of influence in their life that has been a negative influence. But only as strong as they are. And that's how important this is. Maybe that early church recognized that. Maybe that's why they grew so much. There had to be weak brothers and sisters in that early church. And they must have encouraged and concentrated on everybody. Those with little strength goes along with what we're talking about, being immature spiritually. Then talk about football. I had a football coach at Cornell said, we never stay the same, we either go backwards or forwards. I've always remembered that. Also remembered him making us do up-downs all the time, too. So much that we called him Coach Up-Down. Well, anyway. Coach Updown said this, and he, of course, he was talking about football, but I think you can take this related to all kinds of things. Your job, your relationships with your family, relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We never stay still, was what he was talking about. We either advance or we go backwards, one or the other. How do we edify the family of God? We have to love them. We have to encourage them. Take a look at Romans chapter 14. Book of Romans says, therefore, let us pursue the things by which one may edify another. I might put myself out on a limb, but I dare say that if you're a member at Palm Beach Lakes and you're not edified, you better take a strong look at yourself. There's a lot of people here that care about you and love you. There's a lot of people here and there's a lot of things to do. Those people yesterday morning that planted all the plants, they wanted to do that. They weren't made to do that. Nobody paid them to do that. They decided that they'll get together and do that. It's like, I love Bible class teachers because I have a special relationship with them. And they teach because they like to teach. I don't have to pay them. I have to twist their arms once in a while, but I don't have to fork out any money to get them to do what they love being with the boys and girls. They love doing what they're doing, teaching Bible class. But I do not like the bell. Love the brethren. And give encouragement. I wanted to tell, I know there's a shower this afternoon, so Lindsay, you reminded me of this. I think I got the shower thing down. All right? I wanted to get this out because, well, anyway. I want to get the shower thing down because what I figure is this. Whoever goes to the shower this afternoon, y'all could just give presents anytime you wanted to, right? I mean, you could drive to their house, whatever. But it must be that special bond that women have at the shower. That's why they want to get together and have a shower. That must be it. So I just want to put that out, that I finally realized that. Was that the second bell or first bell? First? Okay. How are you going to edify the family of God? You're going to teach them? You're going to encourage them? Avoid discouragement. I thought this was an important. How do you avoid discouragement? I've never really thought about that very much, but have you ever been around somebody that's really kind of negative, a negative person? And there's one thing you can do is kind of step aside from that person, I guess, at certain times. Somebody's negative and you think, that person's going to bring me down. They're not going to build me up. They're going to bring me down. Others to encourage. How about this one, husbands? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How do you treat your wife? Do you encourage your wife? Is your wife here this morning? Do you encourage your wife to be at certain projects and be at certain things so that person can be edified by other ladies in the church? Do you encourage your wife to do that? Hopefully. And wives, what about this? Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. Do you encourage your husband to be here? Do you encourage your husband to participate in spiritual matters? Do you encourage your husband to be the leader in the home? Do you encourage your husband to be the spiritual leader? What about elders? Do elders need encouragement? Oh, yeah. Elders need a lot of encouragement. Give them time to be holy. This comes from a book by Tom Holland. And I thought it was an interesting chapter. I read this book just a long time ago, but I went back to it. And that is that if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing in your spiritual life, then the elders don't have to spend a lot of time with you. You know what I mean? So they can have time for themselves once in a while. Give them time to be holy. It's like a preacher that spends all the time preparing lessons and doing this and this, and then they forget about themselves. I went to the Third Street congregation last Tuesday, and the preacher there said that, you know, all preachers need a preacher. I thought that was a very interesting statement. All preachers need a preacher. What about deacons? Encouraging their families and their wives, encouragement of their works and their service to others. Yes, the lowly deacons need a lot of encouragement. And what about those preachers? In Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And we need to be able to encourage those preachers as well. And the last thing I wanted to say before the bell gets us is this, is how do you want to be remembered? I decided I want to be remembered as somebody that gives encouragement to others. That's how I want to be remembered. You know, and whether my family gives me a tombstone or puts me in some kind of box or something, I don't know. But somehow I want them to write, he was a person that gave encouragement. And that's all they have to write. But how do you want to be remembered when you go to the other side? Do you want to be a person that gave encouragement and lifted up your brother and sister? Thank you very much.